This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstick.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday! Get down to the Avenue Tap House in Lakewood, Ohio to catch Jess Falstick! Host a lineup of regional and national comedians guaranteed to make you giggle! No charge to get in for that seat, but you'll only need the edge!
That's Jess Falstick!
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, I'm actually going to disagree with our guest for the first time in a long time. Joining us is the co-host of the Listography podcast, a list of top fives, which broadcasts every week out of Summit County. Please welcome Rich Scott.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Welcome, Rich. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it, and hopefully we can get you guys on our show some point.
Oh, we'd like to do other shows.
Okay.
Anything we can do to whore ourselves out just a little bit more.
That's exactly what I'm doing today. So
yeah, we do. We all love whoring.
Shear, we're back in the studio.
Yeah.
We're not live anymore.
No. We're going to... take a break from the live episodes for a little bit.
We had to decompress a little bit after that.
That's
a lot going on for me and Shear all at once to do like a bunch of live shows because we don't like to really do stuff, but we do like to do stuff.
Sure.
But we don't like responsibility.
No. You don't like responsibility. I love responsibility.
That's a lie. No. I was a professional at those shows at Shakespeare's.
Yeah.
Not the one at Ingenuity Fest.
No, you weren't.
I was not. But listen to them. They're fun.
Yeah.
They were good.
They're fun episodes. So, Rich, why do you hate driving?
I don't really understand. I guess you're gonna disagree with me, and this should be a fun show. But pretty much anyone in the world that wants, or anyone in the United States over the age of 16 that wants one, can get a driver's license.
Yeah.
I don't think that should be the case because there are a lot of horrendous, horrendous drivers out there.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, I live in South Akron, Portage Lakes area, and I drove to the East Bank Bacon Festival up in Cleveland.
Oh, the flats are coming back.
I guess, well, they brought me there, which is pretty impressive, I assume.
East Bank Bacon Festival.
Yeah, I mean,
all right.
I had a bacon sandwich with ice cream. We won't get into that. It just took me so long to get there. A 40-minute drive turned into, I don't know, right around an hour and 20 minutes, mostly because no one else knows how to drive.
Yeah.
I used a lot of colorful language in my vehicle, and I hate it. There was a point in time in my life for about 2.5 years, I drove 74 miles one way to work. Mm. So, you know, 140 miles a day on highways just to go do my lowly job as a product planner in North Canton, Ohio, really, really got me upset about this. And when we first started talking about me coming on this show, I was thinking, what do I truly hate? And I hate a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I really do. But I'm driving home from work one day and using more of that colorful language and said, God damn, do I really hate driving.
Hmm. Now, how long have you been driving?
Oh, my. Almost 20 years.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at, too. So, although I took a five-year break to enjoy the public transit system.
Just to enjoy it.
Right.
No other reason.
I understand. I'm
on a break again right now. I mean, I've been driving since I was 18, but I'm trying to think. I was 20... From 21 till 25, I didn't have a car. I mean, I would drive other people. Like, I had a license and everything, just didn't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a car. And then within a year of getting a car again, I flipped it.
Oh, my.
I got a DUI.
Yeah.
So Jordan's I'm on a break right now as well.
Okay. Jordan's one of those bad drivers.
See, the thing is, like, I was a really, really good driver, really cautious driver. I just made very poor decisions every once in a while. Drinking and driving was not something I did all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'm not justifying what I did, but I learned my fucking lesson. Like, you flip your car, break your arm, and get a DUI. If you continue to drink and drive, you're a fucking asshole, and you don't deserve to have a license.
Yeah, I love to drive. I had a position for a while where I would drive every day from Brecksville to Toledo.
Drug mule.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then back, and then I would drive from Brecksville to Western Pennsylvania and back, and I did that 5 days a week for a few months, and that was my favorite job I ever had. I don't know. I smoke a lot of cigarettes, so I like driving and smoking, and I have become a more patient driver over the years. I no longer care if people don't know how to drive. It's just like, I'll get there when I get there. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, no, and I understand if you know, driving is necessary where we live. We're not in New York or Chicago where mass transit is a thing.
Yeah.
If you want to ride the bus with poor smelly people, you can. I'm a middle-class smelly person, so I'm not really prone to do that. So I have to maintain an automobile. I have to pay a car payment and car insurance and change the oil and get gas, and then I get on the road and I just lose my fucking mind.
Mm.
Because of all these people that you should have, there should be a lot more vetting to get behind the wheel of a 2,000-pound steel machine, in my opinion.
Agreed. Yeah. Not especially like, I mean, like, what do they do for old people? Like, it's every however many years after you hit a certain age that you have to get the test taken. That shit should be every fucking year. Like, you're, yep. And I'm not trying to be mean to, like, people's grandparents and shit, but your life and health are deteriorating at a rate that you don't understand. That shit needs to happen every year. Because, like, that lady in Parma who killed three people on three separate occasions in the last, like, 30 years, why the fuck does she still have a license after the first one?
Sure.
Doesn't make any sense.
Right down in my neck of the woods, early this summer, there was a younger woman that killed three children right on South Main Street in Akron near Portage Lakes, texting and driving.
Mm.
It's a dangerous, dangerous world, and I don't like it. And it really frustrates me that I have to share the road with anyone else.
Only you should be allowed to drive.
That's exactly
the
truth.
You're like the Highlander of driving.
Exactly. There can only be one. But yeah, it's such a frustrating task to me. And like I said, I drove 140 miles a day, 5 days a week for 2.5 years just to go to work. Mm. And on I-71, on 224, on I-77, for those of you not around here, those are pretty major highways that go through Ohio. And it was just got to the point of frustration and accidents and people not knowing how to drive and people not knowing how to brake and people not knowing how to and cruise control. Do you guys use cruise control?
I find it to be cheating.
Okay.
I did. I used it a lot when I was driving on the highway. Obviously, anybody, if you use it on and not on the highway, you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah, I find it to be lazy.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, if you can't, tweak your ankle on your accelerator a little bit.
Look at me. I'm not tweaking anything.
Okay. Yeah. I guess it's just the laziness in me coming out. But I absolutely despise driving. And I think I'd be fine with driving, like you said, Jordan, if I were the only person on the road.
Yeah.
I've written to my congressman. I don't think that's going to happen. So I guess I just have to deal with it or become wealthy enough to have a driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then your life is in somebody else's hands. And that's another thing that, like, ever since I got in my accident, like, there's certain people I'm comfortable driving with and I know, but, like, my mother, for example, I don't want to get in a car with her. I'm not sure I'm going to make it out every time. Mm-hmm. And we could be just going down the street. She scares me.
No, I know that feeling too. I ride with several people, friends, family, and I wish I had one of those driver's ed cars with the brake on the passenger side.
Yeah, those are my favorite. I really want those because, like, I've got a couple of kids in my life that are going to learn how to drive soon.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And I'm probably going to have to, like, be the passenger in the car for a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
And not looking forward to that because I remember how shitty of a driver I was when I was 16.
Yeah. I was actually one of those kids that I grew up in a very rural area and was driving a truck through a field at the age of 8 and driving a don't tell anybody but a car on the road like at 14.
Yeah.
We've all done that.
Yeah, I mean I know all the authority figures listen to this podcast and
You know they're still trying to find us.
Yeah, you know how much the cops love Let the Hate Flow Through You.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, like when I was 14 years old, we were stealing my buddy's grandmother's car just to drive to like Walgreens because there was nothing else open.
Right.
When we were able to steal the car. But gave us a couple more years of practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it still didn't stop me from getting in 4 accidents within my first 5 years of driving.
Sure. Yeah, my story is a little different because my dad would just go, hey, we need to go to the gas station you're driving. Okay. There was no stealing involved. It was like, yeah, you're going to learn how to drive, you punk kid.
Well, that was the thing. It was important for me to learn how to drive because with my mother being as sick as she was, if I was a bad driver, she was a million times worse because she had one of those hand controls for the brakes and the accelerator in case her legs went out because of the MS. And she stopped driving after we discovered that the construction barrels in California
mm-hmm.
are filled with sand.
Yeah.
And we found that out because she crashed into them. And the van that I later drove for a few years was completely filled with sand.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like a constant trip to the beach, I guess.
Yeah. It was.
Isn't that just California in general? I mean, I've never been, but.
This was the San Francisco area. Oh, okay. So, you know, in the East Bay, there wasn't a lot of beach. And it's a little cooler in the East Bay than it is in the rest of the state. So, the farther you go north, we actually get frost. But not in the wintertime, like in the fall, which is weird.
Oh, I like that, though. No wonder Jello Biafra likes it so much out there.
Yeah. Well, it's weird when, you know, I'm getting up to go to work at 5 in the morning because, you know, if you're driving across the Bay Bridge and you have to be at work at 8, like, you have to leave. It's a 3-hour drive because traffic is so bad on the Bay Bridge. Oh, my God.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
No, dude. My uncle, I was just in the car with my uncle the other day, and it was right after rush hour, I think, and I forget where we were at, and traffic was just backed. Oh, it was, we were heading downtown, and there was a Tribe game, and fucking, there was cars on both of the like main exits to get right downtown, the first 2 exits you can, and just backed up for, I don't know, probably a mile and a half.
Sure.
And he was just like, this is what LA traffic is like all the time. I'm like, fuck that. Nope. He said they went from San Diego to LA. It took them 1 hour and 20 minutes to get back. He said it took them 3.5 hours. I'm like, I ain't doing it. Like, I could never do that. I would kill somebody.
No, if I have to go 3.5 hours, I'm getting on a plane.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. It's even just on the short drive here. It's supposed to be like a 15-minute drive here. No traffic whatsoever. Yeah. It's a rural area here. And I still lost my shit a few times just because of people not using turn signals. Like, yeah. I don't get that. Nuts. Like, what can't you do to flip your wrist to let everyone else on the roadways know you're merging?
Safely.
Yeah.
Just safely. That's all anybody's asking for is just like a little bit. And like people, I've seen people do it. I've been in the car with people before who won't do it. And it's like, oh, well, I mean, there's nobody around me. Doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
Just get in the habit of doing it, you asshole.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, you wipe your ass when you're just going to sit at home all day, right? It's the same principle.
Right. Exactly.
You know, you go smell blind to your own shit, but you still got to wipe your ass.
Right.
So use your fucking turn signal.
Yeah. If you listen to our podcast, we have an intro song, and there's a sound bite of me emphatically screaming to get out of the left lane. Because that's just my biggest thing. If I'm traveling, if I need to be somewhere, I don't want to be driving. I drive because I have to go somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
So if you're in the left lane of the highway and you're doing 60 miles an hour, I'm going to be right on your ass. I'm going to I'll NASCAR you, get you loose in the turn and spin you into the barrier, because I cannot stand that. And I'm sorry if you have listeners in New York,
but
they're the biggest offenders. Those yellow license plates, I pull up behind them and I'm just like, wow, okay, another New Yorker in the left lane that doesn't give a shit about my time.
Well, they're just used to like never going faster than the speed limit because of the traffic, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Cause driving in New York is the goddamn worst. It's just, you know, you have to get in the lane that you're going to be in like eight streets up. Otherwise you're not going to get there.
Sure.
Which, you know, that's why everybody takes cabs, cause it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, you know what? And if I lived in New York or Chicago, I have a good buddy that lived in Chicago for 7 years, and he drove his car about six times in 7 years. And I said, you know, I could live like that, walking a lot of places, taking cabs. Of course, he also lived downtown Chicago, so he would go down the elevator, and everything he needed was right there.
Yeah.
Where I walk out of my apartment, and I have to drive at least a mile before I can even, you know, buy a pack of smokes or get a cold water.
Right.
So, you know, it's just not a thing that I could do.
Yeah, that was, I always hated being isolated from public transportation, which is, I didn't enjoy living in Fairlawn because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the car broke down, it was like a half a mile walk to get to the nearest bus.
Sure.
And, man, I couldn't imagine living in Portage Lakes. I ran a couple shows out in Portage Lakes, lots and lots of drunk drivers at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a they're notorious for DUI checkpoints and notorious for the police being around. Luckily, I am kind of stumbling distance from a couple of bars there. So
yeah,
if need be. And that's another thing that I hate about driving is that I love to drink.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do those things in coordination with each other. Not to say that I haven't. I've been a lucky person. You know, I was one of those people. I spent the bulk of my 20s drunk.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of people, specifically our era and where we're from, probably did too. But there were just times where I needed to get somewhere. And this is, you know, pre-Uber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was, you know, and I had people I could call to come pick me up, but they were probably drunk too. So it was kind of a catch-22. And, you know, luckily, knock on this wood table here, that I never really had any issue with that, but I'm a lot smarter about it now that I'm in my 30s, so.
Oh, well, I mean, and on top of that, I mean, there's Lyft, there's Uber, there's thing, there are plenty of, there's no reason anybody needs to get a fucking DUI anymore.
Yep.
And the only people that are going to get them are bullheaded, like, oh, no, I'll be fine, you know.
Yeah, and nowadays you have to, you know, specifically for me, you have to think ahead and say, okay, I need to go from Portage Lakes to the Rialto Theater in Kenmore, per se, which is actually where you and I met.
Yep.
I think it's like a $7 or $8 Uber ride from my place to there. So I Uber there. I usually get the Uber driver's number and say, hey, I'll pay you under the table $12 to get me back at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
It works out A-okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Then you're not paying surge prices. Shit. That's great.
Yeah. Yep.
That is genius.
Yeah.
Man, I need to start doing that.
Yeah. There you go.
It's not because I drink. It's because like the Uber from Eastlake, where I'm at now, to over to Jordan's is ridiculously expensive. I'm sure if I paid cash, I could probably pull it off.
Oh yeah. I mean, just they'll flip off the app for you for a second and say, yeah, pick me up. And you know, if you're paying a $35 Uber fee to get there and you want to get home, get the phone number and say, hey, give you another 35 cash to get back, and chances are they're going to go, hell yeah, here's my number.
Hell yeah. That's I'll start doing that. You know, because fuck Uber. They don't need any more of my money. They have enough. So you didn't ever enjoy the open road with like at 3 o'clock in the morning with, you know, very few cars on the road. You're just still hyper vigilant about other drivers.
I mean, I have gone. Are you familiar with Route 11?
Yes.
That goes all the way down. Like if you're going down to Mountaineer Casino, like it runs down the east side of Ohio. That road is my favorite road of all time. I can drive up and down that road pretty much at any time and rarely see a car in front or behind me. And I don't so much mind that because it at that point in time, it is my road.
Okay.
And nobody else can touch it. And I'm better with that. I'm not thrilled with that, but I'm better with that. I still don't like the fact that there could be someone else there.
Okay, so it's more of an issue of, you know, that particular stretch of road, it's an enjoyable drive. Is it the twists and turns that you like, or is it just the emptiness of it?
Yeah, it's the desolation of the road.
So it's not driving that you hate so much. It's other drivers.
Well, I still don't like driving.
Okay.
Like I said, if I had the money, I would have a driver.
Okay.
And private highways that only my driver could drive on. I don't like owning a car. I don't like maintaining a car. You know, I have a nice, decent car. It gets me to where I need to go. I don't like paying for it. I don't like any aspect of driving. I just, like, if teleportation were an option,
right.
That's what I would do. I would never own a car again. So, yeah, I would say 20% of it is that I don't like driving, and 80% of it is that I don't like anyone else driving.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, but if they do teleportation, like, they're going to find a way to tax the shit out of that.
That's fine. I'll pay for it. I mean, I buy so much other tax stuff between cigarettes and beer and concert tickets and whatever else I pay for these days that my tax dollars are spread evenly amongst the world right now.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we're not libertarians here. Taxes are not theft.
flat tax, brother.
Oh, Jesus.
That's for Chris Klebb.
I don't mind paying taxes. I just like to know that it's going to something other than building a new arena in Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that sin tax. It's not even that much more money, but when I lived in Cleveland, you know, paying a dollar more for a pack of cigarettes, if I was in Kent, that wouldn't be an issue. That always bugged me.
Yep.
But thankfully, like for a few months, I made friends with a guy that printed out those buy a pack for a dollar coupons.
Oh, wow.
They actually had to have instructions by the register at the gas station by my place on how to process those coupons because I was using them every day. But that was lovely. But yeah, fuck.
I'll introduce you to my Uber driver as you introduce me to your cigarette coupon guy, and we'll call this a day.
All right. I think I pissed off the cigarette coupon guy.
I miss back in the day when the Camel people used to show up to shows and like just be like your friends who don't smoke, hey, give me your ID, and then you walk away with a carton of fucking cigarettes. It was the best.
Yeah.
For free.
The last time that happened to me, I got an e-cig and I wasn't very happy about it. I think I never opened it and gave it to someone that
They give you the coupons now, like where you can get them for a buck or whatever, which is cool. Like that's awesome, but like, fuck your e-cigarette. There's a reason I'm smoking this,
right?
You know, fuck off.
Right. Yeah, I don't need my cigarette vapor to taste like gummy bears.
No, I don't.
No. I like cigarette taste. I don't. No, I don't need a fruit flavored vapor in my mouth.
that's not what I heard, but.
He meant VAPOR, but I pictured VAPER.
Look, if I had a fruit flavored vapor, VAPER, in my mouth, they wouldn't be allowed to come. I'm just saying.
Oh, this is taking a turn.
It always does.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
It would be a giant tease. And I tell him he isn't allowed to come, and then you have to leave.
I feel like the fruit flavored vapor is definitely like being written into the next John Waters movie.
It's James Earl Brassfield.
Oh shit! Yeah. So driving, right?
Yeah.
No, it is. I mean, we can talk about taxing cigarettes too. Whatever you want to talk about. Like, I used to have to go out to Massachusetts quite a bit, and I was paying, I think, $12 or $13 a pack.
Oh.
Out there, and it was, I was like, I can't afford.
No,
I mean, I'm going to buy these, but I can't afford to do that.
Where you're smoking like half a cigarette at a time.
Putting it back in the pack, and people would be like, oh, man, you smell terrible. When I'd walk back indoors and be like, ah, well.
Yeah.
I remember like being on tour and stuff when we did you know, Midwest down to like Kentucky, then through some of the southern states, and then back up the East Coast. And like Richmond was our last stop before we hit like the East, like New England states and shit. And I remember like my buddies being like, buy all the cigarettes you can in Virginia
because
you're not going to want to pay a dime for what they're charging for them in New York. So I bought a bunch and I just was curious. I was like, $17 for a pack of cigarettes in New York City. I was like, fuck yourself. That's not fair. That's not fair.
As aggro of a city as New York is, are you sure you want to be charging smokers that much?
I know.
Right.
And especially because now it's a luxury product. Am I going to get stabbed over a cigarette?
I don't think they're that much anymore. I think that was them abusing the system or whatever the fuck. But yeah, it was $17. And I was like, you can suck my dick.
Yeah. So did anybody suck your dick?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No. And, you know, it happens when it happens.
Yeah, sure.
Especially at the convenience store that you frequent. Haji's just like, oh, there's Giordano Diablo.
Oh, God. You want to do that now? What? Okay, well, your fruit-flavored vapor was blowing me. Well, actually, the fruit-flavored vapor was you blowing me at the convenience.
I don't like to vape. Even if it's marijuana in the I don't like it.
Even if it's your DVD?
You
ever seen Jeremy's DVD?
I don't think so.
Trigger warning.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let him smoke on stage in the place, so he had to use an e-cigarette the whole time.
Wow.
I hated it. I hated it so much.
Oh, it's great, though.
I know. It was green and glowy, and...
I remember several years ago, a buddy of mine and I went into one of those stores in the mall.
Mm.
And bought... And this was back when those e-cigs were like... $75 a piece.
Yeah.
And you had to buy the refillable cartridges, and they ended up breaking within like a week, and that store was closed, you know, within a week. It was one of the worst decisions we ever made. We're like, we're going to quit smoking. This isn't going to happen anymore. We're going to be good to go. And then a week later, we're both buying two packs of Camels and calling it a day.
Yeah. The point I've gotten to now is I'm going to be 30 in a couple months and I'm quitting right after that. Like it's gotten to the point where it grosses me out more than I enjoy it anymore, but I smoke a lot when I drink and then my voice sounds like this the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, I'm done and I'm going to quit cold turkey. Cause like when I get home from work, I don't really smoke cigarettes. Like I just don't.
Yeah.
So it's obviously related to stress.
Yeah. I'm very similar, so I kind of take a little bit from both of your monikers there, is I smoke a lot when I drink and I smoke a lot when I drive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And at $6 or $7 a pack when I was driving 74 miles one way to work, you know, driving, I would smoke 4 or 5 cigarettes on the way there and 4 or 5 cigarettes on the way home.
Right there.
And then I'd smoke the other half a pack while I was at work.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, from 5:30 in the morning until 5:30 p.m., I smoked a pack of cigarettes. Yeah. There's $7 down the tubes. There's, you know...
And that's a day.
Lung cancer.
Yeah.
And like you said, I wouldn't necessarily smoke a whole lot when I got home unless I went out drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd go buy another pack of cigarettes, and I'd smoke that. And then I'd, hey buddy with the menthols, I need a breath freshener real quick. Can I smoke one of those? And then sometimes I would drive. Let's not talk about that part, though.
Do menthols actually work as a breath freshener?
Not in my opinion.
Okay.
After about 15 beers, you can teach yourself that will absolutely work. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I had somebody threaten to break all my cigarettes when we were messing around. So I'm just curious if I should just, you know, huff down a menthol.
No. Oh, God.
No.
I, like, we were at a wedding last night, and my girlfriend smoked menthols, and I did not buy an extra pack before we went, which was stupid. None of my friends had cigarettes either, so we were out pretty quick, and so I bummed a couple off her, and I was just like, ugh, this is why, remember why I don't smoke menthol cigarettes. She was like, yeah, but it's nice for me, because then nobody asked me for them. Or like, when people do, they're like, I'm like, oh, it's menthol, and they're like, oh, I don't want that.
Yeah, so our podcast is myself, Jeff, and Rusty. Jeff is just likes to drink a few beers here and there, and Rusty and I are the drinkers and smokers.
Yeah.
Rusty smokes menthols, and he's always got like four packs of cigarettes on him. So whenever we're out drinking or whatever, podcasting, I'm like, hey man, let me get one of those. And it's like biting into a certs and smoking a cigarette at the same time. And if I take a real deep drag off of it, I start coughing like a 14-year-old on their first cigarette.
Yeah, no.
You know, I kind of got to nip at it a little bit, but you know, it's not bad to have after a few drinks.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
My first cigarette was a Newport.
Oh,
so
you went balls to the wall from day one.
Yeah, I it was what was available to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was hanging out with the African Americans,
mm-hmm.
and they all smoked a Newports. So it was weird though, because I didn't cough. It was like I was born to do it, but I just don't like menthols.
That is another great t-shirt for you. Just picture your face with a cigarette. Born to do it.
Born to do it.
Yeah. I'm surprised that your first cigarette was a Newport and you continued to smoke.
Yeah.
That would have been a turnoff to me.
Yeah, definitely. Like,
mine was my first was a Marlboro Red, I do believe.
The old cowboy killers.
Mine was a Camel Blue, whatever they call now. That was definitely, that's what I've stuck with pretty much the entire time.
Yeah.
Switched it up here and there, but not very often.
Well, then when I was in college, I got a little classy and started smoking Parliaments.
Oh.
And now I mostly smoke Parliaments, even though they're incredibly expensive.
Yeah, they are.
Unless I can't find them, like on my way here, I had to get Marlboro. So.
Yeah.
Do you like the recessed filter, or do you like the charcoal filter?
Yes.
So I like Parliaments when they're, because I smoke hundreds, because I smoke too much to not smoke hundreds, but they had the charcoal filters on the Parliament hundreds, and I like those. But now I just can't do lights because they taste like air to me.
Oh yeah, I've never switched from lights. So you know, I started with the reds and then went to lights, and then I never even thought about going to anything else because I just knew it'd lead me down a poor path.
Yeah, there was a time in my life where I was smoking three packs of lights a day, and I was like, "This has got to, this has got to stop." So
yeah. So anyway, driving sucks.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I've just all of my life since I started driving, I've always, it's calmed me down. Like I'll go on drives at, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning just to go drive somewhere so I can think. And, you know, I think part of that is because I blast my music and, you know, I'm paying attention to the road, but I'm kind of locked in. And I've driven across the country at least 15 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I drove from when I lived in San Francisco. I drove out to San Francisco to move out there. And that was a 3-day trip.
Mm-hmm.
And then I cut when I moved back to Ohio because I didn't like the fact that cigarettes were too expensive in California.
Right. Yeah. That's a good reason to move.
Yeah. Well, and this was prior to the smoking ban passing here.
Right.
So it was like every time I went home, it was like, thank God I can smoke in a bar again.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I drove down from San Francisco to San Diego to check out San Diego, and then drove across Vegas to Denver. And then drove up from Denver to Wyoming and then took 80 all the way back. And the car broke down 3 times.
Wow.
The battery died in the Inland Empire, which it's all desert. So mm-hmm. It's balls hot in the middle of summer. The first AAA guy we called, This is why I hate driving, is because, like, when you break down, it's like they fucking charge you an arm and a leg because you're stuck. They insisted that the reason that the car wouldn't start is because the starter was overheated. So they insisted that we go to a gas station and put bags of ice on the starter. That was not it. The battery was dead.
I don't even think that's a thing, is it?
No, no.
I mean, I'm not a mechanic, but that doesn't sound right.
No, it was bullshit. And then we hit the only deer in Nebraska after I had taken half a bottle of trucker speed and I was flipping out. So that deer broke my radiator hose.
Oh, God.
So we had to stop every couple hundred miles and refill the radiator until we got to a shop to replace the hose. And then we picked up a flat on the Ohio Turnpike. And I had mushroom head tickets waiting for me. And because we picked up that flat, I wasn't able to go. I was pissed.
So, and you still enjoy driving?
Yeah.
All said and done. If 10% of that happened to me on a trip like that, I would never drive again. Mm-hmm. I would be so infuriated. I remember being very, very young, and we had a family of five, mom, dad, I have two older sisters, and we would take several trips over the years from Rootstown, Ohio, mm-hmm. to Daytona Beach, Florida.
Oh, my.
We would load up the Caprice Classic.
Ooh.
Dad was a mechanic, so everything was always running very well, and
yeah.
we'd get that going, and we would drive, he would drive, my dad would. That entire drive. We would usually stop in Jacksonville, Florida, spend the night, arrive the next day in Daytona Beach. And that was one of those things where I don't think I could do it because I'm an adult, right?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't ever want to do it or think I could do it. And I also learned some colorful new words from my father in those days. And this is obviously well before GPS or even Rand McNally trip maker. Mm-hmm. This was pulling out the atlas and pulling out the map and getting from Rootstown, Ohio to Daytona Beach, Florida.
The old Nick Urich.
Yeah.
He's a map.
We went up to Kalamazoo a couple weeks ago, and we rode with Nick Urich and the Sad Boys, and he still had his big old thing of maps that he was pulling out to find our route. And I'm like, we have GPS, stupid. Like, you don't need this.
Yeah, we all carry a small computer in our pocket. We don't really need a paper map anymore.
No. Those times are done.
Well, and I've been there enough times that I was like, we take this highway to this highway to this highway. I can get us from there.
Sure.
Like, it's easy.
Yeah, but he just, I don't know. I think he just likes the feel of paper against his fingers.
There's other ways to do that.
Geographical paper.
Yeah,
it's a different kind of paper on maps.
I guess. Are there still such thing as cartographers? Like, is that still a job? Like a map maker?
I don't know. I think instead of cartographers, they have the guys that drive the Google Earth cars with the big old things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new cartographer.
Okay.
Millennial cartographers.
Yeah.
That's assholes.
What it is. Yeah. But no, I have also driven from Ohio to Florida, but we didn't drive. Daytona Beach was a little farther north than we went. We drove all the way to Miami.
Jesus.
So it was all the way down the coast.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you take 95 to get down to Miami. And it ended up taking 3 days because, you know, we had my mother who, you know, she needed to stop all the time. And then we popped off in Newport News, Virginia, which not a lot there, but I enjoyed it because I got to play video games and I was a fat little boy. That's all he wanted to do. And then we stopped in Macon, Georgia, which was, it was different. You know, we went to the mall and we went to a hotel. That was it. There was nothing else to see in Macon. But then down the Florida Turnpike, my favorite thing to do when I was a kid was like, look at the Turnpike ticket and, like see what was around the exits and how much money we had to pay and just being obsessed with that. So, because what else was there to do in the backseat of a car with two younger sisters that...
Well, you're not going to bring your comic books because they'll ruin them.
Yeah. Yeah, they... my sisters were actually pretty respectful of my stuff.
Really? My sister wasn't. Mm. Not even a little bit.
No, they were good girls. Yeah, I have really nothing bad to say about my sisters.
I love my sisters, but, I mean, the one's really younger, you know, really younger. But Riley, she was, I hated her until she was, like, 13. And I was like, oh, we can be friends now. Like, yeah. This is okay.
I have two older sisters, and I was, it's like, significantly older, a little older, and then me 5 years later.
Yeah.
And at one point I asked my dad, I said, was I a mistake? And he said, back then you were all mistakes. But they, you know, I love both of my sisters a lot these days, but when we were younger, they fought because they were so close in age and they had, you know, fought over the crimper.
Yeah.
Every day, every morning in a house with five people in one bathroom. And I was just trying to sleep because I had a big audition test coming up in third grade that morning. So after we grew up, we became significantly closer. But when we were younger, two sisters, you know, less than 2 years apart, growing up in a one bathroom household was a task that my parents dealt with, and I think they dealt with pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to be privileged enough to where I had my own bathroom from 10 years old on.
Oh, wow.
With a steam shower.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Yeah. I never used the steam part. It was just like, hey, if you're coming over, I have a steam shower.
Yeah, no, I could totally picture you just being like, just like, yeah, you want to come over? Steam shower in there.
Mm-hmm.
But never using it.
No, I never, like, the shower was great as it was.
Right, you didn't need the steam.
Yeah, and plus it was like an old people shower, so it had like a seat.
Oh, perfect for you.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I don't even have to stand up to take a shower, this is perfect.
Could you also get up and down the steps with one of those chair elevators?
There were no steps at that house.
Okay.
It was right after my mother got sick, we decided, oh, yeah, we don't need stairs anymore, mm-hmm. so that's mm-hmm. what we did.
A ranch?
Yeah, it was a ranch.
Gotcha.
It was a ranch. There were no ranches in Shaker Heights. I wish we could have stayed in Shaker Heights because, it was way better than where we ended up moving. But
you know what we've learned today?
What's that?
People on the roads are cunts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't use that word, but I'll take it. Like,
oh, don't worry, we do. I'm sure. You-
and it's I don't mind hearing it, but goddamn, I'll just tell you, Jeremy, if you think you're good and you quote unquote, you know, just lock in to what you're doing and your thoughts. I've probably been behind you calling you a lot of nasty names. Yeah. Being like, what is this guy doing? Is he just like locked into his thoughts driving down the road? I'm going to run him off the fucking road. What the hell's going on? So, and maybe you're a fantastic driver. I don't know.
I'm a good driver.
I'm a good driver. It took me a while to be a good driver.
Sure.
But and I think once I was like, all right, I've had enough accidents. I've had enough speeding tickets. I'm going to stop going 90 miles an hour everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to stop like trying to turn on a dime. And I'm going to stop, being in a hurry, I think is what did it for me. Is just I'm not in a hurry to get anywhere. I'll get there when I get there. And I'll leave early enough so that's an option. And only use my cell phone if I'm stuck in traffic.
Sure.
And it's made things so much easier when I drive. And plus, now that I don't drink, it's, I still drive because everybody needs a Desi. And
he's driven my drunk ass home a bunch of times.
Yeah. And, like, if I've got a road gig, like, now that I have my license back, because that was a whole thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what makes you drive a good driver?
Yeah.
Driving illegally.
Yeah, driving illegally.
I'm sure.
I did drive illegally for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it also made me better at car repairs. I had to fix my own headlights for the first time. I was like, yeah, this has got to get done.
Yeah, I remember at least once or twice in my life that I would drive and I'd pull into the bar. And somebody would go, hey, you have a headlight out.
Yeah.
I would immediately leave the bar and drive to AutoZone, buy a new headlight, and install it because I knew whether I was going to have 40 drinks or two drinks, I didn't want any reason to be pulled over as soon as I pulled out of the bar. I did that several times in my life. And another question. Hey, how are you with braking? I'm sorry. So do you like let off the gas and slowly touch the brake and as you approach a stop sign, or do you drive 45 miles an hour and test your brakes at the stop sign.
No. I slow down.
Okay.
Especially because I have driven with no brakes.
Okay.
A lot. Jordan's been in the car with me when I've had no brakes.
Okay. I respect that because a number of people that I ride with are instant brakers.
Oh, no.
And I grew up, like, my first ever car was a 1969 Chevy C10 pickup truck that got about 9 miles to the gallon, and the brake pedal constantly went to the floor, and it was really heavy and dangerous, and all it had was a lap belt. You have to learn on a car like that how to stop, because you had to start stopping a quarter mile before you had to actually be stopped. And now that I have, like, adult big kid cars that have brakes on them, I still drive like that.
Yeah.
And anyone that doesn't drive like that drives me insane.
Yeah, I definitely get that, because my first car was well, the car I learned to drive in was a I think a Jeep Cherokee, but you know, it's still a heavy car, so you have to, you know, brake slower than you normally would. And then, but the driver's ed car was one of those like 300,000 mile sedans.
Right. An old Chrysler K car.
Yeah. So you have to stop, like, because if you don't stop like way before the stop sign, the fucking instructor is going to hit the, the fun brake anyway.
Yep.
The oh shit brake.
Yeah. I got to get me one of those cars.
Yeah. This, I'm pretty sure they're available, but they're going to have 300,000 miles on them.
Yeah. My dad's a mechanic.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I just scrapped my car. But it was time. It was it had over 200,000 miles on it, and it was like the last year that Toyota's made Celicas with automatic transmission.
Oh wow, a Celica, huh?
Yeah. It was the drizzling shits in the winter.
Mm.
I spun off the road like how many times? Like six times. Yeah. And I'm, like, you know, that. I'm a good breaker, but it doesn't matter because it's such a tiny little fucking car. It just, as soon as you tap the brakes, like, it goes spinning in a circle.
Yeah, last winter in that car was, that was an adventure.
Fun, huh?
Yeah. That was my least favorite car I've ever had. I did like it because I don't look like I belong in a coupe. And it is kind of adorable watching me get my fat ass out of that car.
Like, in and out of the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I don't like this. But yeah, watching us two get out of that car at the same time, it had to be fucking great for anybody watching.
Yeah. My favorite, though, was I knew a guy that was 500 pounds. And he drove like an old beat-up Cadillac. But even in that old beat-up Cadillac, he would get up out of the car and the suspension would raise up.
Wow.
Somebody just like, watch this. Like, yes.
Wow, that thing has really nice hydraulics on it. No. Just the fat guy.
Yeah. The fat guy got mad at me when he was setting up a gazebo, and it was like a tarp gazebo or something like that. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, setting up gazebo. I was like, oh, I thought it was a U-sized hammock. He's like, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck you very much.
Oh, shit.
Actually, going camping is probably my worst driving experience because I was drunk, and the parking situation there was you had to park up against a creek. And I drove into the creek.
Oh, no.
So we're out in Cambridge, Ohio, and I had to call a tow truck because, like, everybody's drunk, so nobody's going to be able to winch me out of there. So I meet the tow truck driver up at the front of the camp. He's like, what are you doing, boy? You know this is God's country. I'm just going to give you money. Like, get my fucking car out of here. Right. Leave me alone.
I'm going to give you money. You give your money to the church and go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Okay?
Pull me out and don't preach, please. Yeah. Thanks.
Much obliged. Yeah, that was definitely my worst drive. Well, no. I don't know. There was one. My first accident was over on the east side of Cleveland. There was a group of City Year people walking by on their way to John Carroll. Mm-hmm. And I got T-boned by this lady that ran a stop sign. But it was nice because there was that group of city year people walking by, so they all stuck around and filled out an incident report, so there was no way I wasn't getting my money. Because, of course, the lady said, no, this was his fault. No, no, it wasn't. You ran the stop sign. The second accident I got into, I did not pump the brakes soon enough because I was too busy listening to Warrant.
Like Cherry Pie or?
No, Dog Eat Dog.
Okay.
Dog Eat Dog is a good album.
Well, I mean, it's fair enough. I mean, yeah. That's a reasonable reason to not stop.
Yeah, Warrant. I wasn't paying attention. And I got out of the, I pulled off the side of the road. My car is like, it's a Subaru wagon, so it's all fucked up.
It didn't warrant a reason to stop.
Oh.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's your line of the podcast.
When I was 16 or 17, I was driving to high school in said 1969 Chevy C10. Drove past the gas station on the way to high school, and a lady just pulled out right into the side of me.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, and she was a 40-year-old lady, and I was a 16-year-old kid. So it's obviously the 16-year-old kid's fault who spun around and knocked over several mailboxes. The State Highway Patrol actually thought to lighten the mood and say that Dave Thomas from Wendy's was going to be pissed at me because I knocked over his mailbox. I'm like, eat a bag of dicks. I don't, you're not funny. Eventually it was 100% her fault, which was nice.
Yeah.
And then the only other time I was in an accident, I was late for work and I was living with my parents at the time and my sister was there. I ran out to my car, got in the car, put it in reverse and ran right into my sister's car who was parked directly behind me. Did not say anything. Pulled up, left, went to work, called her from work and said, oh, hey, I hit your car. My bad. Got to work. Bye. Love you. So those are my two accidents. One was obviously my fault because it was in my parents' driveway and my sister's car. The other one was completely not my fault. So
when I first learned how to drive, my dad had a Cadillac, like a really nice Cadillac, and I sucked at pulling out of the garage. So what I ended up doing was I had pulled in too far to the left and I tried to pull out without like adjusting and I ended up ripping off the mirror and the front bumper on the garage.
Damn.
Yeah, it was not good. I was not a good driver for a very long time, Jordan.
All right. Well, good to know.
Yeah.
I assume your dad was none too pleased.
He was none too pleased, but he needed me to drive because, you know, it's very difficult to have a 5-person household with one driver.
Oh, yeah.
And so, because my mother shouldn't have been driving at all.
Sure.
So it was up to me to do a lot of the running my sisters around and stuff like that. So if I remember correctly, I don't know, I drank a lot of cough syrup in high school, so I don't remember.
The good kind or just NyQuil?
NyQuil.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite thing to do was to pull up to school, pound a bottle of NyQuil in the parking lot, and then go sleep in the nurse's office until school was over.
Wow.
Does that count as attendance?
Yeah. I was already late anyway, so, you know, because I would show up an hour late and act like it was no big deal.
Yeah, well.
Sure didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I gave only slightly more of a fuck back then myself, but I don't know. Was the nurse cute or something?
No.
No, just some, the standard old lady school nurse?
Standard. No, it was an old lady or like one of the football coaches.
Oh.
And like, I didn't care.
I know what you were doing.
Yeah.
Trying to get on the football team.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the football team for a little bit, and then I remembered, oh, yeah, I'm fat. I can't do all this running. So, and I picked up smoking, so it was like I made my decision. It's right. Either working out or smoking. I picked smoking. I made the right decision.
I was a captain of the track team and a smoker.
Jeez.
Yeah. People don't like me. they're like, why are your biometric screening come back so well? And I'm like, I have no idea because all I do is eat pizza, tacos, smoke cigarettes, and drink beer. So I should be dead, but I'm not.
It's a weird world we live in.
Yeah. There are people that like go into ketosis and work out, you know, 7 days a week and eat nothing but tofu. And they're like, I think I'm going to die next week. I'm like, I think I'm going to live another 70 years.
Yeah. It's just how it goes. I when I lived out in San Francisco, I went on a supplemented fast where I went through ketosis because, you know, I'm eating 500 calories a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost 90 pounds.
Wow.
In 2 months.
Whew.
Yeah.
That's not even healthy, is it?
No.
I thought my 70-3 was unhealthy.
No, I went hard in the paint, but then I ended up getting gallstones, and I didn't know I had gallstones for another 5 years. So, no, wow. Longer than that. Like 7 years. I just thought, ooh, I've got this terrible pain. I don't know what it is. And anytime I went to the ER, they were like, well, we don't know what it is. So, all right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, on that note.
On the note of gallstones.
Yeah. So.
Be careful, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a PSA.
If you lose too much weight, you'll get gallstones, and then you have to get your gallbladder out, and then anytime you eat a cheeseburger, you're going to have to shit 5 minutes later, and it's all going to be liquid.
But you'll be a good driver.
That's true. I don't care if you have a gallbladder or not, as long as you use your goddamn turn signal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, use your turn signal, and you know what? You take more breaks when you're driving if you have to shit all the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's happened.
Yeah.
Short intervals. Ate a lot of Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is that. Well, it's time to shout out ye old sponsors. We have, as our sponsors this month, Jess Faulstick. It's at Epic Fall on the Twitter.
F-A-U-L.
Yeah. Not fall as in the season, fall as in the first four letters of her last name. You can find her Sunday nights at Avenue Tap House on the west side of Lakewood. And, of course, Britt Fox, X-Fox Rocks on the Snapchat and Instagram. She's got some more projects coming up, so I'm looking forward to see what she's up to.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, Plight of the Stripper Herder. You can find that at plightofthestripperherder.blogspot.com. It is a chronicle of a floor guy who has been in the strip club industry for many years, and it's tales of woe and some successes from his many years working around the legal ladies of the night.
The legal ladies of the night.
Don't mind me chiming in real quick. You can also check out Jess Faulstick on the Listography podcast
she did
a few weeks ago, which was one of our highest rated episodes. It was very funny. It was about The Simpsons mostly. And you can find me directly at Rich Scott Jr. on Twitter or at List Guys on Twitter, facebook.com/podcastlistography. We're on Podbean, we're on iTunes, we're on anywhere you find podcasts, and we're gonna keep doing it because we like doing it, and I hope to have you guys on
Individually
or separately, or individually and separately are the same thing, individually or at the same time. It'd be fun to get on and argue over something you have a top five list about that you're very passionate about.
Oh, we could both come up with those.
Yeah, it's a fun podcast because it's a different set of top five lists every show, so it covers a wide range of things.
Yeah. Definitely. That would be a lot of fun. I'm in.
Yeah, like I said, we're very close to here too, and next time you guys are down, we'll get you in for sure.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates driving as much as Rich Scott.
No, there is another. The world behind dies again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep setting up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge may burn. Daniels is drunk in me.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Brett Fox.
It's your boy Jay Remy, Fat Woke Boys, Roast King of Cleveland, here to tell you about Akron's King of Underground Battle Rap, Dallas Cash. Dallas Cash is a rising artist with debut fire single out now. He's got over 115,000 total views on Verse Tracker, winning battle after battle from Ohio to Cali. You can find him on iTunes and Spotify under I Like Dallas Cash, on Twitter at I Like Dallas Cash, or his website IHateDallasCash.com. He's a complicated man. Find out more about him now before you have to pay for everything.
That's Brett Fox.
This has been the Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.